Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap podcast. I'm your host, Jay File, with my co-owner and creator, Tyler Hayward. Excited about today's show. Before we get into the main topics that are Michigan State and Michigan basketball and football, I want to apologize for our audio, and that's going to be me. Tyler just made fun of me about something with my cell phone, and we won't get into the full details, but I have to say something about it. Tyler really disrespected my cell phone, and he has every right. So we're back on. It has not been easy to bring this show, but I want to say this real quick. This is an amazing stat for all of you that have listened to our shows over the past 6 years. That's right, 6 years. I'm looking back, and we are basically over 200 shows right now on just this platform. We're at episode 52 with Trouble with Snap podcast. We changed the name. Obviously, we were Rivalry Radio, but literally 52 episodes we have had just on Blog Talk Radio with this Rivalry Radio and Trouble with the Snap. We'd like to bring it every day, but we are busy. But thank you so much for being a part of our show. We're excited. But today's a special day. This is JLW Day. Tyler Hayward brought this to my attention. Tyler is the guy with Spartan Sports. There's nobody better. I was like, what the heck is JLW? And Tyler, why don't you tell everybody what? Whatever. Did I mess it up? Who cares? I really don't care. But Tyler, bring up the Jalen Watts, Jackson. Yes. So let's, you know what? No, forget that. Let's go back to where we were. Let's dive into the part of the segment that we wanted to start the show. Where were you when the Trouble with the Snap game happened? I'm going to give you mine real quick. So I was in San Diego, California, beautiful San Diego. If you guys ever want to visit a beautiful place, San Diego, California is pretty cool. Quad Ale House. Yeah, Santiago. Yeah, stay classy. Wasn't very classy for me that evening. But anyway, at a very fine bar, restaurant, you know, Quad Ale House, downtown San Diego. And a gentleman comes in who's a Michigan fan. I'm like, perfect. I meet a really cool person named Clay, who was a Michigan State alum. Tyler, you'd love him. And we're watching the game. Long story short, very silent group of Spartans at the upper level of the bar restaurant. And I start chiming in with my Michigan fan who I just met, who was from Saginaw. And then it happened. It happened, and I'm telling you, I'll never, ever recall more shock from another fellow Wolverine fan who was sitting next to me. He did yell at his wife and told her she needs to go, which I thought was hilarious, by the way, part of the story. Get out of here. You ruined this game for me. I thought, like, wow, this could be a cause of divorce. But it was just one of those games, Tyler, you know it. You're going to tell me your story here in a minute. You never forget where you were. I mean, I started laughing. My friend Clay, who still lives in San Diego, a Spartan alum, he started laughing. And we couldn't stop laughing. And then I came up with the saying, God hates Harbaugh. And you know, he said, you should start a T-shirt. But I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget the reaction from the Spartan fans. I'll never forget the reaction from Michigan fans. I'll never forget the reaction from people who didn't even care about either school, just jaw wide open, you know, you're sitting there, mouth wide open. You can't believe it. Tyler, give your side. Where were you? What was your reaction? And what in the world happened?
Okay, so I was with a mutual friend. I'm pretty sure you can guess who that is. And we weren't out anywhere because I was about 2 weeks removed from cancer surgery. So we were at my mom's house, and I was, I stood up and I was watching the game and stuff, and I was standing up the whole game like I do every game. But that game will always kind of have like special meaning to me because, well, you talk about shirts being made and stuff like that. You know, my mom got me this shirt that I'm actually wearing now. It says I'm naming my camp to Michigan. So that way we can beat them twice this year. And I'm just glad I didn't have to throw away this. I'm just glad I didn't have to throw away this shirt after that game. I was 2 weeks removed from my first operation to get rid of the cancer completely. And, it was as successful as Rangers missing four times. You know, the lineup that Michigan State had out there. And so, yeah, this was a huge game to me personally. I mean, MSU played Rutgers the week before, and I couldn't even get up for that one. But, you know, end of that game, you've been to my mom's house. You know the size of the yard. And I'm out there, and I'm running around, and I paid for it the next day. It hurt really bad, but that's, you know, so this game, I mean, it means more than just Michigan State to me. It meant a lot to me in regards to that. So, yeah. This
Well, that's an absolutely incredible.
The trouble with the snap, the trouble with the snap thing, plus my wife has made a buttload of money on the signs you'd see on my last live feed. And so, yeah, this game meant a lot more to me than just the game, which already means the world to a lot of people. So it was big time for me.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I look back, and this is kind of, you know, memory lane here, and this is powerful, you know, for all of you listening. I mean, yeah, Tyler's been a diehard Spartan fan, and as I was living in San Diego at the time, and you know, Tyler, you could recall, I mean, we found the news, and we were all just – you know, praying for you, and that was a big part of our life. And yeah, I mean, just to be able to watch a game for you was difficult. For, you know, we were all worried, and now you're, you know, here with us, alive, kicking, and strong as ever. And in that game, yeah, you know, it's like a lot of people. I want to say this, not just Tyler, but multiple people who, honestly, I know it sounds crazy to say, but if they had a one more wish, it would be to see their Spartans beat the Wolverines, or the Wolverines to beat the Spartans, or to beat the Buckeyes. And look, I know that that seems so minor, but that's how serious and important these rivalries are to the people in Michigan. And, you know, our teams mean a lot to all of us. And if it brings some joy in someone's life, I mean, why, how the heck could you knock that? And, you know, and the sorrow of Michigan fans definitely probably made you feel much better. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. I mean, it's sports. Let's not get all sensitive. It is what it is. And it was just a crazy game. And it's honestly given us the reason to have the name for this show. I mean, honestly, it's just going to be around forever. I mean, this game will never be forgotten ever. And that's why finally, after, you know, we've had this show for so many years now, and we've tried to figure out what do we call it. I mean, this is perfect. It's perfect for us, and we can't wait to continue it. And I'd like to, say, hey, Tyler, you're with us, and thank goodness. And you know what? If you're happy the Spartans win against the Wolverines and I'm sad, I'll get over it. And that's okay. It's okay. Let's dive into the stuff. We got a lot to go over. We could harp on that game all night. And honestly, it was amazing. And that's why we're doing the show moving on. Let's talk bye week Spartans first. Obviously, there's a lot of things that have been negative this week. You know, I try to tune out the negative as much as possible. It's not easy. I just think, look, man, you know how it is. This team is struggling on offense at times, but some of the things I'm reading, it does make sense. I mean, Wisconsin and Ohio State are very good. Arizona State's actually having a fantastic season. So it's not like they've lost to terrible teams. Dive into that, man. Tyler, dive into this, because people need to understand that. I think that is something I've started to realize. They've lost to three good teams.
Yeah, and here's my little disclaimer is, in all honesty, I think Arizona State's not that good of a team. I think Arizona State's beneficiary, like, you know, any second-level ACC team not named Clemson, of just playing in the WAC conference. The problem is, and while it helps Michigan State, that Arizona State does look good. If you look at the scores, Arizona State is not that good of a football team. And, you know, outside of the officiating, Michigan State has them. And, you know, it's not just the officiating, but the officiating definitely did not help, or let's just say play a neutral part in it with the Pac-12 rep. So that's one of them. And that one stuck to lose. Michigan State had no reason to lose that game, even with the Pac-12 officials, you know, doing what they did to Ole Miss the week after, doing what they did to Wisconsin a couple of years ago. Speaking of Wisconsin, that's one game I cannot put my finger on. Wisconsin was just dominant. You know, you hold opposing running backs to zero or negative yards on 40% of the running plays. You know, it turns you one-dimensional. You're down 17-0 because David Dowell, who I talked about in my post-game live feed, you know, blew a read on tight end team. And so that kind of escalated the need to try to pass, and it made Michigan State one-dimensional, and Wisconsin's got the best defense in the country, statistically speaking, of course. And Ohio State was just a focus issue, and I felt that it's the difference between a 8-4, 9-3 level team to a 10-2 or 11-1 or undefeated team. It was just an issue of the focus, which I think if Michigan State were completely healthy last season, I feel like they would have had a, you know, that leadership, that level of accountability, because all of these guys would have been playing. A couple of the guys who made the mistakes were not playing last season. But, you know, there's nothing you can do about that with injuries and everything else that transpired. So, look, you lost to Arizona State, which you shouldn't have done. You lost to Ohio State, which was a few plays from being a really close football game, and probably a Michigan State win. Like, there's five plays. Like I said, it was all a boom or bust type thing. It wasn't one of those things like, oh, running back got tackled 10 yards downfield, you know, as opposed to 8 yards downfield. You know, those little things that usually take, usually play such a big impact at the end of the game. It was running back gets stopped for no gain, or running back houses it. You know, Fields gets stopped for 2 yards, or Victor Benjamin takes up the sideline for a touchdown. Daryl Stewart dropped a big pass on, I think it was third down, would have been the touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, those things, they were literally boom or bust. They changed the complexity of the entire game.
And we knew this would happen. We said a close win or a blowout loss. We all knew that. Close win or blowout loss.
Yeah, it was a blowout loss, but if you look at the game, it was technically a close game. You know?
No, absolutely. I agree with you.
The scoreboard did not tell the story of how Michigan State played them on 90% of the plays that were in that game.
I agree when you watch it again. Yes, when you watch it again and you really replay it.
So with Arizona State, and then you're on the road at night against Ohio State, who's a national championship contender, and you give them that much of an issue, and then you turn around and you play another top five level team in Wisconsin, again, on the road, and you're doing that in back-to-back weeks. Look, the Wisconsin loss was inexcusable for how it looked, but the Ohio State loss, not that bad. Arizona State loss, when you consider what transpired during that game, not that bad. So,
I would disagree with the Arizona State game because I just think it's the game you should win. You know, I think you're absolutely spot on with the Ohio State.
Like I said, they still should have won that game. But there's real – this team is still a quality football team. It's still a really good football team. You had two games that – very, very easily could have been flipped, and one of them against a team that everybody's saying is a national championship contender and looking like the best team in the country. So, yeah, you can be frustrated, but since you lost to that team, you know, you still have a lot to play for. You can still get a 10-win season. Looking at the rest of Michigan State's schedule, Penn State's obviously going to be tough, but it's still very reasonable to do it with a bowl game. And 9 wins is not terrible. It's not what D'Antonio has built for himself in regards to expectations. But given the circumstances of this season, it's reasonable and it's fair. And anyone wants to call for his head because you're a little pissy that you lost a couple of games that you probably shouldn't have. Two of them that were down on the coaches. You know, Arizona State was a little bit, but
Let's move into this.
That was 100% on the players.
Well, let's move on. I mean, we could talk, we could harp on that. Let's move into this real quick. Look, because it was such a problem with the D'Antonio talk all week, you know, after the Wisconsin game, and it was just brutal at the beginning of the week. I think what Spartan fans, a lot of, you know, normal folks who have, you know, the audacity to look at the whole picture, the problem that you have is clearly the offensive staff. And people are
no.
over that. I don't think – there's not a whole lot of people can – that would, with the right mindset, would say, oh, Mark D'Antonio is just doing a terrible job. That's not what a lot of people are saying. What they're saying is he never made the changes. He needs to eventually make some sort of changes. Or a couple people – I've read some good comments, and I feel strongly about this. You can change in season. You can put a couple wrinkles in. You can change the dynamic of your offense in season. If you feel that strongly about keeping it intact, you got to change things. The problem where D'Antoni went wrong is the question that was asked was a very difficult question with the reporter, and he just didn't want to answer it, where he could have probably answered it a little differently. He didn't have to give too much information.
What?
I know you have an impact. Let me say this, though. Let me say this, please. I want your opinion on – are Spartan fans completely wrong, though, for wanting Mark D'Antonio to change or leave? Because I think that they have a good, strong point.
Oh, absolutely. It's an asinine request because you're not looking at the full concept. Look, Michigan State sucked against Wisconsin. Like I said, they got put in a corner because they had to become one-dimensional so early, given Wisconsin's rush defense. Looking at the Arizona State game, you get 400 yards, and every time you start to have these drives, you get killed by a bogus holding penalty. The momentum dies. And then Ohio State, like I said, was just an issue of execution. Brad Salem has done a fantastic job this year. My issue has been on the other side of the ball. Like I said, Ohio State was execution all the way around. But against Wisconsin, Michigan State had no answer. They were very easy to beat. Cohn made a couple nice throws early, and the receivers made some nice catches. But at the end of that game, you know, if Wisconsin wanted to move that ball, they were throwing over the corners and under the safety the entire game. Ohio State took a bit of that too. And that's where the problem has lied. I feel like Mike Tressel has done a fantastic job for two seasons, but now we haven't seen him put together blitz packages. We didn't see him disguise much against Fields. We didn't see him disguise anything against Cone. He was very easy to read. And instead of pressuring a quarterback who may be not that great and forcing him to get rid of the ball a lot quicker than he wants to, he sat there and he gave a guy who has an FBS Division I scholarship to a top 20 program annually, he gave him an opportunity to throw the ball. So you're going to be successful in those situations. The offense, like I said, they became one-dimensional. It was very easy for Wisconsin, especially when you have two backup tackles in, one of them who actually slid over from guard, and he would have been a backup guard had Michigan State started the season completely healthy. And so it's not on the offense. The offense has done a great job this season as far as the play calling goes. The execution, the drops by the receivers have not been that great. Prior to the Wisconsin game, Brian Lewerke, the receivers caught 60% of their drops, which is the easy number in regards. It's given a little bit of room as opposed to 100%, where Lewerke may have thrown a bad ball just a little bit behind that got poked out by a defender. So we'll say 60% of the drops because they've dropped a ton of open passes this season. Lewerke's throwing about 70%. That's not
for sure.
A Brad Salem issue. And the issue is on the defensive side of the ball in regards to play calling. Obviously, the talent is there. I said safeties were weak, and instead you're letting other teams throw in front of your safeties and over your corners where they're getting no help. And that's the problem.
No, I mentioned something with Lewerke. I mean, we got all these, you know, friends we talk to with sports, and we talk on, you know, millions of pages, it seems like. So there's a huge opinion, which is fine. I think the fans deserve to have a right to what they believe in. I think sometimes you want to give a clear picture of factual stuff that takes place. Brian Lewerke has not been the reason why they're struggling. That's that. I mean, if we think that, that's we're losing our minds. I made the statement, and we know, we talk with a group of our friends. I made the statement to you, Ty, where if it continues to go south, though, you have to just maybe add pieces for the future of the program. But let's just be honest, that's not who Mark D'Antonio is, and honestly, I respect that. He's not going to just give up on the season ever, and I think that's not a bad thing. He's not a quitter. He's not going to, you know, lay down and say, oh, let's just worry about next year. He's going to fight throughout the season. When I look at the whole way Michigan State has started, Wisconsin's a darn good football team. And I would argue that Wisconsin may be better than Ohio State. I think Ohio State has more dynamic plays in their system, but boy, Wisconsin's solid as a rock. And they are better in the pass game with Cone than they've been in the past. So they're scary. They're great up front on both sides. They're fast on defense. They have a great defensive coordinator in Jim Leonard. That's a darn good football team. So that loss right there doesn't bother me for Michigan State. Now, moving forward, though, I'll say this. This is your time in the bye week to get a little more diverse on offense, and you got to find a way to get all the players you have available in the right spots. I think that has to be prime topic number one for that football team. Number two, on defense, they're going to have to figure out who to play in the secondary, because that is their problem right now. They're having a hard time in the secondary. Well, they look out of place, and I will say this. I think that it's injuries partly, but I also think it's players not playing very well. I don't think it's – the only thing Michigan State's done poorly on defense is not bringing pressure as much as I think they should on certain situations. Other than that, I think they've been solid as a rock. But talk about that, Tyler. I mean, what this week and bye week do they have to improve on to finish this season in the right way?
Well, I think the first thing that you've got to improve on is situational football. You know, Michigan State's front seven is as good as anybody else's in the country. You saw that they held Taylor to 78 yards. But they were losing the first and second down battle, making the third and really manageable. You got to win those early first downs. Second thing they got to do, they got to improve the safety play. I think Josh Butler's had a good season. Take away the pass interferences. One of them that was terrible call against Northwestern where he was getting tackled, but he still had a couple of them just because he doesn't turn his head around. You know, Butler's played good. Josiah Scott, he's not as good as Michigan State fans were hoping he'd be at the beginning of the season. He still played well. Xavier Henderson is a four-star safety, true sophomore. Didn't play a ton last season. He often saw time when Kari Willis rolled up to nickelback, and they let Henderson in. That was pretty much the only time that he really saw. So he's still learning. The problem is you have a senior in David Dowell who's made a reputation off of five turnovers in 2017 in two really rainy games. And that's what he's living off of. And he's had a lot of problems falling out of place. The tight end seemed to set up Wisconsin's first touchdown. That was his misread. He was the fourth guy following Taylor on that play. The Ohio State big touchdown to Victor Benjamin, the first one of the game for Ohio State. He rolled up to help Tyreek Thompson, who's a pretty sure tackler on the field, and he left his man running wide open up the sideline. He's had a lot of problems. He's a fifth-year senior. If you have problems tackling and you have physicality problems, that's fine. You should not have those mental lapses as a senior, especially as a leader in Michigan State secondary. And he's been a big issue, and they may have to start looking at playing his brother instead of him a little bit more to at least get him some experience. Those are really the problems other than injuries on the offensive line. I mean, the receivers need to be a lot more fundamental in their route running and their pass catching. But that's something that I think is just a switch because we know how good those receivers actually are. So I think it's something
I agree.
They need to get healthy on the offensive line. I think that's the only problem they've had on offense outside of the Wisconsin game. They just need to get a little healthy on defense. Like I said, play calling needs to improve. You need to make things interesting. The safeties need to be better. And like I said, one of them because of youth, the other one needs to get better. There's no excuse.
Yeah. No, there's no excuse. You got to improve. You got to find ways to get better. And look, a successful season for Michigan State in football is to win out. 9-3, that's big time. You know, you beat your rival in Michigan, that's huge. For Michigan, look,
yep.
I don't want to spend too much time on football so we can jump into basketball because we have some breaking news here. But for Michigan, look, you got to find a way to win week by week as well to get to that last game undefeated as far as not undefeated, but you know what I mean, only with that Wisconsin loss. Win out with only that Wisconsin loss and get to Ohio State with the one loss and a possibility, again, low possibility, but a possibility to win your division. That's everything for Michigan football, and that would be, in my opinion, a very successful season. Hey, breaking news, though, I think, you know, we're going to talk a lot of basketball, but this just in, Isaiah Todd does commit to Michigan. The five-star forward is ranked number 12 overall in the 2020 class. You know, this is a big one. You know, this is a big one for Jim Howard, Jawan Howard. And, you know, I'm a little speechless, to be honest. You know, I did not see this coming. This is huge. This is huge for Michigan basketball. You know, a lot of speculation on, hey, what can Jawan Howard do? And hey, here you go. This is the situation where Jawan Howard comes through, and this is big. And I think this is big for everyone, not just for Michigan, but for Michigan State, because it's getting real competitive now. Michigan State's been killing it in recruiting, and now Isaiah Todd, you know, is signed, delivered, and ready to be a Michigan Wolverine. This is big. You know, they got Zeb Jackson coming in next year. They got good young players here now. This is a big win for Jawan. And Jawan's statement the other day, he had said, who wants to be the first? Isaiah Todd, obviously, is the first. So congratulations to him in Michigan. This is big, Tyler. This is definitely big. And rightfully so. The highest rated player that he has had, or Michigan has had, in the modern era.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously huge. You said it, Michigan State's been recruiting well. Tom Izzo's been recruiting as good as he ever has, if not better. And it's something that I think is going to open up a lot of doors and not only make, you know, the on-the-court battle physical and everything else, but it's going to turn some recruiting battles kind of ugly too, and it's going to really pick up the intensity in this rivalry.
No, absolutely. This was shocking. I mean, it kind of just, you know, to be quite frank, I'll just say it. I didn't expect it because we just haven't had this. You know, we haven't had this at Michigan. And boy, I'll tell you, when you get a player like Isaiah Todd, who is just a big time player, you know, highly rated, very good, great size, major victory for Jawan Howard in recruiting. And we know what this is, Tyler, with Jawan Howard. Whatever he may lack with head coaching experience, he can make up for it with recruiting. And this is what you do. I mean, you get the proper players. You develop great players because you were an NBA player. And that's where he comes in. And that's where people who make statements like, oh, Jawan Howard, you know, with his experience as an NBA player, it could really make us great. Now, that's a far-fetched statement, but when you continue to add piece by piece by piece of good players, yes, now you're correct. This is still a long ways to go, and this doesn't add up to wins. But what it does is it brings an excitement around Michigan basketball because, again, Jawan's big with understanding culture, understanding of saying the right things, and he said, who wants to be the first? And here you go. This is what you get. So, you know, we won't get into too much depth with recruiting, but again, that's huge. That's huge breaking news just in. Again, Isaiah Todd, number 12 overall player in 2020, does sign with Michigan. It's just breaking news now, and that's huge. That's huge for them. Let's talk about now, though. Let's talk about Michigan and Michigan State basketball now. Let's dive headfirst into let's go Michigan first. Look, we've talked about it last time. You made a great statement to me earlier. You say, I mean, who is going to start at four? And I just sat here and went, I have no idea. And that's your problem with this Michigan team this year. You know, you can start multiple guys. You can go big. You can go small. I don't know, Tyler. I mean, I just, do you really want to go big and put Teske and Castleton in at the same time? I think you're super slow then. Do you want to go smaller and play at Livers at the four like you have and play a couple more guards? I don't know. I mean, I think Wagner, they're huge on. It's yet to be determined. You never know with these things. So my best bet would be Wagner. But talk Michigan basketball. You know, your impressions. Let's just stay at the four position.
Well, I mean, I think you have to go small to an extent. You don't have a lot of depth up in the front court. You have Castleton and Teske. I think you can rotate them as five. And you have Brandon Johns. I mean, that's all you've got as far as height for the most part, quality height, assuming Johns takes that step that everybody was kind of expecting him to actually show up as a freshman. If he just matches his freshman expectations this season, you know, you've got another quality four. And then I think you may have to start looking at him. But right now, you have so much depth. You have Simpson, you have DeJulius, you have Eli Brooks, you have these smaller guys that all add a bunch of speed. You know, maybe you play Livers at the four, so then that way you can just try to run people out of the gym. I mean, that would be my
absolutely,
best bet because you have the most quality basketball players in that position. And then maybe you have Johns be the first big off of the bench, and you can rotate him a little bit in with Livers and have him play the four. And so that way you still have – you have complementing styles. You have guys who can get out and run, then you have the more traditional look. It can make things really confusing, make things a lot harder on defense as to how they're going to play you, how they're going to prepare for you, how they're going to start defending you. And I think it's an opportunity, you know, for them to experiment a little bit, at least early on with the depth at the guard position.
I think what you're going to see with Michigan basketball is I think you're going to see a transformation from a team that was very, very well in the half-court situation to a team who wants to get out and run and be athletic with long wings and big players, and you're going to see more post looks. So I think what you're going to find with this team is, and I could be wrong, but I really believe this because of Juwan Howard being a 4-5 player, you're going to see bigger guys play. So I think what you're going to have is a lot of competition at guard, and they're going to play the toughest one of all the guards. I mean, I think Eli Brooks is the one that he really has to figure it out because Juwan has been very, very high on David DeJulius. And because of his strength, him only being 6 foot, but 190 pounds, you may see DeJulius play the two a little bit. And you may see DeJulius, Simpson, and then three bigger players like Livers, Castleton Teske, Teske Johns, Teske Wagner. You're going to see 6'7", 6'10", 7'1", in the front line. You're going to see that most of the year. And then you're going to have to figure out who can play alongside Simpson. So the depth is really not there at guard position. They have some forwards, but really, you know, there's not a whole lot of depth, period. I mean, they just don't have a whole lot of 2-3 deep positions.
Right, but most of their quality players are at the guard.
I don't know. I mean, I think right now
because we don't know. We ultimately don't know what the freshmen are going to bring to the table. So
we don't know. Yeah, and they're really forwards though. You know, I mean, it's not right in front of me as far as the expectation of each player. But I will say this. I mean, I don't see anyone but Brandon Johns or Eli Brooks or Castleton. You know, I look at their lineup like this. I see 8 guys. Maybe 9. And I say, okay, we know Simpson, Teske, Livers, those are 4 sures. We know Castleton, that's 4 players, Wagner, 5, John, 6, Eli Brooks, 7. You know, who else is going to step up and play? You know, DeJulius, 8. Now, who else? Now, who else is there really that we could say, oh, yeah, this guy could probably play? Austin Davis? I mean, maybe a couple minutes. They got Nunez, another guard who is not ready. He's just not good enough to be even at Michigan. And then you got another freshman that's not coming to my mind that John Beilein was super high on. He's 6'8", 175, I think. I can't think of his name because I'm just not a recruiting guy. I'm going to be more now because Juwan's starting to get people that people know. But, you know, they have a couple smaller – slender forwards on, you know, that are coming in. then I'll have to look more into this. You know, it's just not my thing recruiting, and it's something I'll look more heavily on. But I do think, like, they got to find a way to get another guy to play the two spot. I'm not concerned as much at the four as I am with having another guy on the wing that can shoot. Because right now I really only see Livers as being the guy that can shoot the basketball at a higher level. And Eli Brooks has shown glimpses. Well, now I need to see Julius shoot the ball well, and he's going to be, I'll have to do that. I need to see Xavier Simpson shoot the ball better. He needs to do that. I mean, he hasn't proven that at a consistent level. You're losing Iggy, a very good shooter. You're losing Jordan Poole, a very good shooter. Those are a lot of points from outside. What do you do to move forward? So, look, I don't know. I mean, it's up in the air. It's much like football. We'll see week by week what transpires. But let's dive into Michigan State. We only got a little bit of time here. I'm just going to ask you this one question, Tyler, so we can end the show. What do you need to see? Because I think Michigan State on paper is better than last year. But what do you see or must see from Michigan State to win the national championship? Because we have to be in this conversation. That's how good this team is. That's the expectation. What do you need to see for that to happen?
I need to see two things. One, I need to see a power forward step up. I don't think Michigan State really has a complete guy with the exception of Hauser. We'll see how that goes. As far as the NCAA ruling, if he's able to play right away. Because I feel like Bingham's that stretch forward that Izzo likes, but can he make the type of passes that Kenny Goins did? Because Izzo does like to run four outside, entry pass into the five, open the floor up for the big fella. So I need to see that. I need to see the big fella. I need to see Tillman have a more solid back-to-the-basket post game. We haven't seen that a lot. A lot of his buckets are putbacks, fast breaks, and off-screen and rolls. I want to see him have a back-to-the-basket game. And then the other thing is can Langford be the defender that he was hyped up to be last year? And we kind of talked about that right before the show. You know, Matt McQuaid, obviously best perimeter defender in the Big Ten. Shut down Carson Edwards twice. And then due to the injury of Langford and due to the injury of Arnt, you got to see Aaron Henry, and he took on that defending role. He'll take on McQuaid's leadership role on defense. On the perimeter this year, can Langford step up? Because I felt like Tom Izzo hyped him up, but I felt like Langford was really overrated as far as the defender goes, because he's one of those guys who his defense goes as his offense goes, and sometimes he is a little inconsistent.
Sure. Yeah, we gotta cut it off tonight on the show. Hey, that was great insight again from Tyler. You know, we got a lot to talk about with basketball, man. We got a long season, so we're going to just not go crazy right away. We're going to give you little bits and pieces. Obviously, we were really highlighting the four position from both schools, but we will get into some more in-depth basketball coverage here pretty soon. The season is here. First games are coming up. Can't wait for that Kentucky-Spartan game.
Kentucky,
I'm so excited. Kentucky on the clock. Cannot wait. You know how I love Calipari. But it's going to be fun to talk some basketball. Football. Football, look, we'll get back on to Michigan with Penn State. You know, we're going to try to get on a little more frequent. Hey, busy family men trying to get it done, not only on the podcast, but in life. So we'll try to get on as much as possible. But look, if you want to get more involved with our show, please, I repeat, please check out this podcast, Trouble with Snap Podcast, on Facebook. We are going to have a Twitter up soon. And look, we're slowly but surely doing this. But again, I just can't not say this. I want to end the show with this. We have done over 200 episodes of podcasts with Michigan State, Michigan, on just this one, Trouble with Snap, and our old name, Rivalry Radio, 52 episodes. So this has been a lot of fun. Season 6, we're calling it. We started this in 2013, season 6, heading into season 7. We are excited to bring this to you guys. Hey, look, there's just not a lot of people that know more than Michigan State than Tyler Hayward. I would argue that nobody does. This guy is a beast when it comes to Spartan knowledge. Me with Michigan, look, I'm up and down with it because these guys drive me crazy. And I will have a lot of opinion about the Penn State game after it's accomplished. I hope they can win. I will not give you my prediction. I will put it on our page, though. Hey, check out the page, Trouble with the Snap Podcast. Tyler, I think we should go live. There's a good call for that. Tyler, you better get on live and talk about it. I will give you my live feed before the game. I've got not much good things to say about this game, but I will go on live. I will let you guys know my prediction. So will Tyler. Hey, thanks for tuning in again. Troubled Snap Podcast. Again, happy anniversary, Jalen Watts Jackson, with the fumble recovery. Trouble with the snap. That's why we have this show. And, yeah, man, we are ready to keep this thing going. For Tyler Hayward,
next time we don't have trouble with Miles Tom.
Today we will not have trouble with the audio next time, as I will be upgrading. Maybe an iPhone. Maybe an iPhone I'll have. But we'll stick with Android now and whatever. Look at that shameless plug. Shameless plug I had. Is it going to be shameful football for Michigan? We'll find out. So we'll get on live. Hey, tune in. Please tune into our live feed. Give comments, feedback. We want to get you on the show too. Make sure if you want to be on, you can call in the guest call-in number, 858-956-3207. Again, 858-956-3207. We'll announce you. You can get on the show. Let's talk Spartan and Wolverine sports. Hey, thanks again for tuning in. This is Trouble with Snap Podcast.